So, we're going to talk a little bit about V'zois HaBrocha. This is the blessing, Asher Beirach Moshe, that Moshe blessed the Jewish people before he died. And, when it comes to blessings, we have such a long history of blessings. At first, God blesses Avraham, and he says to him, you are going to be Ve'heyeh Brocha, you're going to be a blessing, right? So he gives over to Avraham the ability to bless. And then the strange things happen that it says that Avraham gives everything that he has to Yitzchak. Vayiten, es kol asher lo leYitzchak. But he doesn't bless Yitzchak. Because the Medrash gives a mashal of a person who has to tend a garden, is given this job to tend a garden. In the middle of the garden, this beautiful tree that's got this mistletoe or something poisonous wrapped around it. And he doesn't know, hey, I'm a gardener, I'm supposed to take care of this, but these are symbiotic trees that we have here. And so when Avraham looks at Yitzchak and he wants to give him the brocha, he sees, yeah, there's Yaakov, but there's also Esav there. So eventually, so he just gives everything to Yitzchak, and one of the things that he gives is that ability to bless. And Yitzchak takes off where Avraham left off. So Avraham vayiten, he gives everything to Yitzchak. So Yitzchak starts to bless Yaakov, yiten lecholikim, God will give you. And he finishes off with vayikra, calling. When you call someone, it's really an expression. The Gemara says a loshen chibur, of love. Vayikra el Moshe, God calls to Moshe. So the calling that Yitzchak does to Yaakov, he calls him at the end and he sends him away and he says to him, you cheated me, so now you have to be mevara, now you have to work out this cheating. What kind of cheating is it? So I'm going to send you to your uncle Lavan, who's like the master cheat, and there you can figure out if you're his kind of cheat or the other kind of cheat. So he leaves it with Vayikra, and then when Yaakov comes to bless his children, it begins with Vayikra. And then it ends with Vezois. And this is the blessing that Yaakov blessed his children. But we know when we read the blessing that Yaakov blessed his children that he didn't bless them all. And some of them, he did the opposite, he cursed. He started to be nice to Reuven, but didn't go really. And then Oro Apam, when it came to Shimon and Levi, he cursed their anger, and then he came to Yehuda and he started to cheer up a little bit. But you have to start where somebody left off, right? The blessings have to start where the previous blessing left off. And so Moshe Rabbeinu starts his blessing with Vezois. V'zois HaBroch. We know that the word Zois is a special word. Zois refers to the tree of life, according to the Zohar, Ilne Dechaya. V'zois HaBroch Asher Beirach Moshe, that Moshe blessed every Yid with the tree of life. What's the difference between the tree of life and the tree of knowledge? The tree of life represents the spine that goes up and down through the body, the brain that connects all the way through, down to the bottom, to the bris milah, to the genitals. That's the tree of life. The tree of knowledge already, that's already the hands and the legs. That's already a different part of it's. That's not the tree of life. The tree of life is that energy that flows directly upwards and downwards, whereas the tree of knowledge, then it can spread in all different kinds of directions, and with one hand you can be giving and one hand you can take, and you can have all kinds of contradictions going on. In the tree of life, anybody who's ever tried to make love knows that if there's a contradiction going, it ain't happening, it is not happening. And that, you know, if there's a thought inside that says, ich will nicht, I don't want this, it ain't happening, you know. The tree of life, it flows or it doesn't flow. It doesn't flow in a contradictory way. So we were learning, where does this come from? Why the word Zeus is so special? Because the very first word that Adam HaRishon spoke, when Adam HaRishon spoke that first word, he spoke out what God had put in him. Right? Because the Torah tells us, Vayipach ba'apov nishmas chaim, that God blew into his nostrils the breath of life, Vayi Adam lenefesh chaim, and man became this living creature. And you know, why? What's so special? Other creatures are also called nefesh chaya, but the Targum translates it as ruach memalalo. Man became the speaking animal, the speaking creature. So the very first word that Adam HaRishon speaks out of his mouth, the Torah tells us, Vayoyme Adam Zois HaPam. So the word Zois represents Adam speaking out, iterating, expressing. And what is Zois? This is the feminine, this. He didn't say Zeh, he said Zeus. So when we hear about Moshe Rabbeinu, the Gemara says, Shechina midaberes mitoich groinoi, that the Shechina speaks out of his throat. That Moshe Rabbeinu only opens his mouth to speak. You know, we know that when Moshe Rabbeinu was speaking on his own behalf, he had a speech impediment. And he aral sefasoim, he said, I am uncircumcised lips, or Moshe Rabbeinu stuttered, or whatever it was, that he was very unclear. And so God says to Moshe, you know, I'll send you to Pharaoh, your brother Aaron, he'll be your mouthpiece. And yet we find in the Torah, we don't find anywhere that Moshe spoke and people didn't understand, or Moshe had to repeat himself or anything like that. It didn't happen, right? Why? Because when Moshe was speaking on behalf of God, and he was speaking to us, and he was teaching us the Torah, Moshe only opened his mouth to speak, and the Shechina medaberes mitoch groinoi, the Shechina spoke out of his mouth. And what is this Shechina? Zois. This feminine presence. So, in a sense, when we talk about the Shekhinah as being the feminine, we don't mean that there is an aspect of God that is feminine, because there's no aspect of God. God doesn't have aspects. You know, this idea that somehow, you know, God has a feminine side, a womanly side, you know, it's very nice, but it's not Jewish. That's not what it means. And, you know, very often we get so caught up in this idea, you know, it's like we want to believe, you know, that there's a man God and a woman God, and you know, our job is to bring them together so that they can have babies. Yeah. And you know, on the simplest level, you know, when we say L'shem Yichud Kitche Brichu Shchinte, we want to connect Kitche Brichu, the Holy Blessed One, and His Shechina, and Le'yachta, to bring together, to unify the Shem Yud Hei and the Vav Hei. So again, you know, I could be mistaken in thinking that, you know, there's a feminine aspect of God. It's my job to bring it together with the masculine, and then the whole world will be benefiting from this Shefa that will flow in a kind of orgasmic flow, you know. The truth is that the Shechina are the words that come out of our mouth. You know, God spoke into us. What did God speak into you? He spoke your name. Who are you? Like C.S. Lewis says, I don't have a soul, right? I am a soul. I have a body. So, who am I? I am this, for want of a better, I am the name that God called. At some point in history, God started calling Heshi. So, I exist. So, my neshama, the first time we come across this idea of neshama, vayipach ba'apov nishmas chayim, God blew into his nostrils this neshama, and the man becomes ruach ma'ah, becomes a speaking creature. So the neshama represents that aspect of the divine which speaks. What did he speak? Well, we know that the first thing that Adam does is he starts naming everything. He says, this Noah, it's right, this should be called a Nesha, this should be called a Shoyer. This, he looks at things and he sees the name. He sees the word that God has called everything. And he's able to express that because Adam Arishan, he understands who he himself is as a name that is being called. So when we talk about the Shekhinah, we're really talking about that part of us which speaks words. And the words are made up of letters. These are the things that we've been learning. So Moshe Rabbeinu, at the end of his life, he comes to Vezois, and from now on, Moshe Rabbeinu is finished teaching, he's finished leading, he's finished rebuking, and now it's Vezois HaBrocha. So what does Moshe do? He iterates again this very first word, the Shekhinah, the Zois, and he puts inside each of us, into every Yid, he blesses Yisrael, he blesses all the Yidin with this Zois, with this Ilne Dechai, this tree of life. Which means, if you have the tree of life inside you, then it doesn't matter how you go through your life, you can't do anything that can't be fixed. What is the meaning of breaking something? It's when you leave life. Right? Well, ultimately, what is our concept of something that can't be fixed? It's death. Right? Once it's dead, there's no fixing. Right? So life means that it can be fixed. If it's alive, it can be fixed. And we know that everything that is alive has that capability of growing and repairing itself. So Moshe Rabbeinu connects everybody with this life, this Ilne Dechaya, which means that there's no way somebody can do something that can't be fixed. Vayoymer, and he says, Hashem mi Sinai bo. God comes from Sinai. So Rashi says, what does it mean, God comes from Sinai? So Moshe Rabbeinu wants to bless us. So the first thing he does is he says something nice about God. And then Rashi goes on to say, and by saying something nice about God, he says something good about us. So the Nois Desha, the son of the Ishbitzer, he says, what does Rashi mean? So he says, Hashem mi Sinai bo, God came from Sinai. You know what happens? You buy a chuppah, right? So the chosen is waiting by the chuppah, and on one side of him, you know, his father standing on one side of him, got his father-in-law to be standing on the other side of him, and the kala walks down the aisle. Just imagine if the chosen just can't stand it. He can't stand standing there. he runs towards the Kala because he loves her so much. What would the Kala do, right? She sees her husband running towards her from the Chuppah. She would run towards him. She would say, you know, I mean, my husband can't even wait for me under the Chuppah. He loves me so much. He comes out of the Chuppah to... That's what it means, Hashem mi Sinai bo. God came towards us, and you know what happened? We had a rule. Moshe Rabbeinu had told us, don't go near the mountain. And God had said to Moshe, go down, lech ho'ed, red ho'ed ba'am, go tell the people, al yersu, tell them not to push through to the mountain. I know that they're going to want to, but tell them not to, because it's dangerous. Tell them not to come to the mountain, to stay away from the mountain. So the Noiz Desh says, yeah, but God, what does he do? He comes out, Hashem mi Sinai bo. And what happened to us? When we saw God coming towards us, we said, never mind what the rules are. Never mind what we were told. Never mind the prohibition. And we all rushed towards the mountain, at which point God picked up the mountain and we were all underneath it. How did we come to be underneath it? You know, the Gemara says, Shabbos kof aleim har kigigis, God covered, he held the mountain over the Jewish people like a barrel. Well, wait a minute. We weren't allowed to go near the mountain. How could we be underneath the mountain? So the Noiz Desh says, well, you know how? Because God enticed us there, because God came towards us and we went rushing in. And you know what that meant when we went rushing in? It meant that we gave up our life. It meant that we said we want to die because we knew what the punishment was going to be for touching the mountain. Moshe had warned us. God had said to him, go down and tell him Cholila v'chas not to touch. And so we jumped under the mountain because we all wanted to die. That's really what we wanted. We wanted to just be taken up and snatched by God. And that's really what God was waiting for. Because he wanted to hold the mountain over us in such a way that we had to agree that we would rather die than walk away from there without being married. And we wanted, like, it should be a chasana. It should be a marriage. So God shows us this ha'oras ponim, and then we have no choice but to just rush in. Oh, you rushed in, you touched the mountain, you forfeited your life. You said, yeah, we said, we don't mind dying. We're ready to die. At that point where we became ready to die for God because we wanted to be connected to God, then God could say, Anoichi Hashem Elokecha. God could speak to each one of us. See, had God given the Torah when we were all standing around, it would be Anoichi Hashem Elokechem. I am God, your God, plural. There could only be God speaking to me and God speaking to you individually, one-on-one, if you already abandoned your life to God. V'zorach misei lomoi, so God comes from Sinai, entices us, seduces us to abandon ourselves to him. V'zorach misei lomoi, the Noiz Desh says, the truth is, we weren't really at that level. Who were we? We were really a bunch of pagans. We'd come out from hundreds of years in Egypt. Did we have an idea, a clue, what it means to be a Yid? We didn't. V'zorach miseya. We were still full of all the aveiros, like, you know, in Ishbitz, Seir, Esav represents kas, rage, murder, and Yishmo represents tava, lust. We were still full of those, but it didn't matter. We didn't matter, because when it came to the moment to jump into God under the mountain, to die because we were ready to let go of our lives. That was enough. That was enough for that moment. True. Later we tried to take our life back, right? Because that's how a person is, you know? If you're not really at that hoichig madrege, if you're not really at that level, you know, once somebody came to the Rishna, the Heilige Rishna, and he said, Rebbe, you know, I heard that if a person fasts for 40 days and 40 nights, then he could have Ruach HaKodesh, you know, he could, the Holy Spirit could come to rest on him. And, you know, he says, Rebbe, you know, I've been doing this fast now, I don't even know how long it is, but I don't feel spiritually that I've reached any great heights. So the Rebbe explained it to him. He said, you know, can you imagine the horses of the Baal Shem Tov? You know, the Baal Shem Tov would take, he'd call his wagon driver, Ivan, and he'd say, all right, so let's go. And they would, you know, they'd go into the forest, and this Ivan would fall asleep, right? And the Baal Shem Tov would say whatever it was that the Baal Shem Tov said, and the horses would just take off, right? And they'd be flying with this Kfitzes HaDerech. They'd be doing like 300 miles an hour. You know, an hour later, they're in Constantinople, you know. So the horses, they think to themselves, wow, look how spiritual we are. Usually we stop here for a drink. Look, you see that place over there? Usually we stop there to graze, to rest. We don't have to do any of that. We've become like angels, right? You know, they think to themselves, marvelous, wow, look at us. We don't need to eat, we don't need to drink. Yeah, but you see, as soon as the thing stops again, they become horses again, right? They put their nose into the bag and they're scuffing away at their oats, right? Because a horse stays a horse. So the Rishon has said to this Yidl, yeah, you know, while you're fasting, you know, but as soon as you stop fasting, you're the old you again, you know. So really, you can't really blame the fact that this process didn't work, because you didn't actually go through any changes. You only thought you were going through changes. The same way, the Yidden, after Matan Torah, you know, we still had a lot of spiritual work that we had to do. You know, we weren't really at that level of just being able to throw ourselves into it. But for the moment of Matan Torah, it was enough. Like the Gemara says in Medrash and Shir Hashirim, that when God spoke to us, mamash, it was Yitzias Neshama, everybody died. When God said, Anoichi Hashem Elokecha, we died. And so then God had to breathe life back into us, and that's the meaning of Shir Hashirim Yishakeinu Minishikos Pihu. If only God would kiss us again with those kisses on the mouth. So the first brocha, Yechid Reuven Va'al Yomus, Moshe says, Reuven should live and not die. And the reason he says this is because Yaakov didn't know what to do with Reuven. You know, because really, Reuven had seriously damaged Yaakov's plans. You know, Yaakov had 12 children. V'ibnei Yaakov shneim osar. Even after, immediately after the Torah tells us that Reuven went Vayishkaf, Bilo Pilegesh Oviv, the Gemara says anybody who thinks that Reuven actually did an aver is just making a mistake. But he moved the bed, because after Rochel died, Bilha, who was Rochel's handmaiden, had the bed in her tent, and Yaakov was going to sleep with her. And Reuven said, you know what? Bilha? My mother, Leah. If Yaakov's going to sleep with her, it should be my mother, Leah. So the thing was, The Noyes Desha says that Yaakov had in mind to strengthen the Jewish people with another tribe. And had he succeeded, the Jewish people would have been immeasurably strengthened. Because God had said to Yaakov that I'm going to give you a nation and a family of nations, and that was before the birth of Binyamin. So Binyamin is one, and the Kehal Goyim, that would have been another child. So Yaakov wanted to give us 13 tribes, and the 13th would have been like the strengthening of all the tribes. And only Bilhah, who was Rachel's handmaiden, she was the one. And instead, Reuven moved Yaakov's bed. And Yaakov never had sex again in his life. Nisht is nisht. It ended up that Yosef had these sparks of Ephraim and Manasseh. But had Yaakov given birth to Ephraim and Manasseh, then there would never have been all the tragedies of the Jewish people. It would have been a different history. So Yaakov didn't want to bless Reuven because he wasn't sure that Reuven hadn't ruined a lot of stuff. By the time Moshe comes to the end of his life, Reuven has fixed everything that needs to be fixed. Yechi Reuven v'al yomes, Moshe Rabbeinu says, because Reuven was really, he honored Moshe Rabbeinu. Why did Reuven choose to live, not to go into the land of Canaan, but to take his inheritance on the other side of the river Jordan? Because he wanted to be with Moshe even after Moshe died. Sham Chelkas Machoikek Sofun, there the portion of the lawgiver is buried in that part of the land. And Moshe Rabbeinu was buried there in Transjordan, and Moshe Rabbeinu is just an aspect of Yaakov Avinu, like the Zohar says. Moshe Milagav, Yaakov Milabad, that there are two aspects of the sun, the Shemesh. Yaakov is called the Shemesh, and Moshe is called the Shemesh. Yosef is the moon, Yehoshua is the moon. So Reuven fixed. But when it came to Shimon, Moshe Rabbeinu, he couldn't bring himself to bless Shimon. The Noyes Desha says an unbelievable thing. He brings a medrash that really, you know, when Shimon, because he asks, you know, Moshe Rabbeinu could forgive so much, right? I mean, let's face it, we gave him a really hard time for 40 years. And Moshe Rabbeinu was mevata. He always forgave and, you know, let's move on. He was always like, let's move on. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't hold any resentments. Let's move on. So how come when it comes here in this parasha before Moshe Rabbeinu dies, the Torah tells us he blessed Yehuda, Shema Hashem Kol Yehuda. Let God hear the voice of Yehuda. And Rashi says, Kan Romas L'brocha L'Shimon, in the Shema Hashem Kol Yehuda, let God hear the voice of Yehuda. It's a little hint to Shimon. Shema, Shimon. Because Shimon is named Shimon because Leah says, Shema Hashem. God heard that I'm the hated one. So Shimon is connected to hearing. So here, Moshe Rabbeinu says, God hears the voice of Yehuda. So that's a remez to Shimon. Why couldn't he bless him? See, after the story of Zimri, And we've learned it so many times, you know, that Dinah and Shechem were connected, and that Zimri and Cosby were connected, and this was the same neshamas as Rabbi Kiva and the Ashes Turnus Rufus. These neshamas were connected, and then Zimri said to Moshe, Bas Yisroi Mihitalach, who allowed you to marry this Midianite woman? You are connected to her. You know she's your Zivik. This is my Zivik. And the whole story. Then what happened? Pinchas saw, and he got up, Vaikach Roimach, and he took the spear, and he put them to death. Then what happens? God says, Pinchas ben Elozimnara. Hey, Shiv, God says, Pinchas did this amazing thing. Hineni noisein loyes brisi sholoim. A covenant. What's the covenant? A new way of being a Jew that comes about through the story of Pinchas. And this is something that Moshe was unable to forgive. You see, it wasn't supposed to be that way, according to Moshe. Moshe wanted to give over leadership of the Jewish people to David HaMelech. Only to David HaMelech. What tribe is there that's worthy of leading the Jewish people? David HaMelech. But David HaMelech has got all this sexual stuff, right? What Shimon did in taking Cosby and having this public orgy and the whole thing, and then Pinchas gets up and he forges this new path of kanoos, of this zealotry, right? It wasn't supposed to be. He took away something from Moshe. And that's not something that we usually understand when we learn the Torah. He belittled Moshe. See, up until that point, Moshe was the only one. There was nobody else. There was no other leadership in the Jewish people. There was Moshe. And then there was Yehoshua, who was his houseboy. If anything was going on, it had to come through Moshe. He had a question. Ultimately, it came to Moshe. There was nothing happening in the camp of a million people that wasn't going directly at the command of Moshe. And here comes Shimon and provokes Moshe into standing there crying. Vehema boichim. And Moshe and Aaron and the Zakenim, because they realize that this is too big to handle. Along comes Pinchas. Nah. His mamash anar. He comes with this innocence and naivete, and you know, fools jump in where angels fear to tread. His mamish applies to Pinchas, and he sticks this spear into Zimri, and God gives him this bris of Sholem. And from now on, you know how you have to lead the Jewish people? You have to lead them with sexual continence. Moshe Rabbeinu can't give over now to the tribe of Yehuda. He can't give the Jewish people into the tribe of Yehuda. You have Yehoshua, who comes from Shevet Ephraim. So the whole leadership of the Jewish people passes into the Bnei Rochel. The Bnei Rochel, we know, are these tremendous Yiras Shemaim. The Bnei Rochel have this tremendous fear of heaven. And when it comes to sexuality, the Ma'al Hashem, they come from Yosef HaTzadik. The whole thing is the Shmiras Abris of Midas Yesod. The sphere of Yesod is like the big avoider. It wasn't supposed to be, says the Noiz Desha. Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to give it over into the hands of David HaMelech. Nu, David HaMelech has a different avoider. But you know something? Atzas Hashem Usokim. God has the last laugh, right? So, Moshe has to give it over to Yehoshua. And so, you know, this Derech of Pinchas. It's interesting to try and imagine what the shape of Yiddishkeit would be if Zimri hadn't provoked Pinchas and there hadn't been this bris, this covenant, this everlasting covenant, would we be a completely different, would we have like a different approach to Judaism? You know, David HaMelech is considered such by his peers and his colleagues, you know, he's considered such an exception, you know, and it's hard for the Jewish people, especially, you know, in the aftermath of King Shaul, who was again from the Bnei Rochel, you know, Shevet Binyamin. It's so hard for the Jewish people to adjust to David HaMelech's way of doing things. And what is David HaMelech's way of doing things? And this is the difference between Yehuda and Yosef. The Gemara says Leah was the first one to give thanks. So therefore, her children give thanks. Because she says, Hapam Oida, this time I'll thank God. And she calls his name Yehuda. That was the fourth child that she had. So the children of Yehuda, yeah, you got David HaMelech. Kilechot Toiv Lahoidos, he says to God. The noise dash says that's not what it means. The Gemara says, Arbo Tzrichim Lahoidos. There are four people who need to give thanks. Somebody who goes through the wilderness, through a desert, somebody who's been in prison, somebody who's been on a sea voyage, and somebody who's been ill. When they recover, or when you come to a safe haven, or when you come through the wilderness and you reach safety, the Gemara says, Arbus Rechem Lehoides, in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, I guess you could come to the Beis HaMikdash and bring a carbon toida, a sacrificial offering of thanks. But the Baal Shem Tov instituted the custom that on Erev Shabbos we say the Mizmor, which is the four who give thanks. So, why would we give thanks? Because we're in danger, says the Nois Desha. That's what Leah did. That's what Leah brought into the world, that her children are able to take risks and put themselves in danger. She's the first one, and it comes from her that her kinderlach have this ability to take risks. And it says, Rochel is the first one to be silent, and so her children are silent. And the Nois Desha says, yeah, because Rochel is the one who has this tremendous Yiras Shamayim, she has this tremendous fear of heaven, and not going to do anything until she's sure that it's the right thing. And so, of course, her children have this same way of worshipping God, not to do anything unless you know it's absolutely the right thing. So these are two completely different ways of worshipping God, right? And this is why there's practically war between Yehuda and Yosef all the time, because Yosef says, how could you do something if you don't know it's the right thing? If you're not sure, come on, where's your fear of God? How could you do something if you don't know it's the right thing? And what does Yehuda say? What does David HaMelech say? He says, God will make it the right thing. I mean, we find by Yehuda that, you know, he was the one who said, let's sell Yosef into Egypt. And then, you know, the story, they come down to Egypt and Shimon gets taken to prison and then Binyamin gets, you know, just everything goes from bad to worse. And Yehuda is the one who just vayigash elav Yehuda vayomer biadoni, that Yehuda just finds inside himself the miftach oiz, he finds inside himself the presence of mind, the certainty, the absolute 100% faith that everything is okay, doesn't matter how it looks. And the Nois Desha said, what did he do? He opened his mouth And he shouted, and Paroi fell off his throne, and Yosef fell off his throne. And at that moment it became clear to everybody that Yehuda is the Melech, Yehuda is the king. It's hard to understand, you know, but if we realize that it is the voice that comes out of your mouth, it is the words that you speak, that is the Shekhinah. The words you utter, that's the Shekhinah. When we talk about unifying God and the Shekhinah, we mean to talk, to daven, to sing, to say Tehillim, to praise, to ask for things, to speak, to communicate. That's the Shekhinah that we're talking about. So Yehuda just opens his mouth. As soon as he opens his mouth, Yosef falls off his throne, of course, because Yosef is silent, because he's of the Bnei Rochel, and he can't come to that Madrega. And at the moment where Yehuda opens his mouth and shouts, Yosef realizes, you know, I thought I was the king, but I'm not really. That Yehuda, he's the king, he's the boss. So that's where the brocha is in the Zois, and all of us have it inside us. Moshe Rabbeinu gave us the brocha, that we each have inside us, the Il Nedechai, the tree of life. All we have to do is forget about the Eitz Hadas, the tree of knowledge, the hands and the legs, and just to get in touch with the flow of energy that flows up and down our spine, that flows from your genitals to your head, and from your head to genitals, that the electricity or whatever it is, the energy, the state of mind that flows in the body, the pleasure. V'nahar yoytze me'eden l'hashkos esagan. There's nothing higher in good than oineg. There's nothing lower in bad than nega. Nega is the opposite of pleasure. I'm not talking about orgasms, right? We're talking about feeling, the feeling of life flowing through your body, up and down your spine, into your mind, and into your body. That is the feeling, and to express that feeling with words, that is the Shekhinah. I bless us to come together, Mitzvah, next week.